We are studying from the book of Ten Sfirot, Article 103. You can ask questions on Kab TV. We will ask them during the lesson. Book Tas, Part 2, Item 103. When we... The Ten Sfirot is good, right? When we study some kind of picture, story full of images, we want to bring it to the image of the system. When we study the system, in the language of the system, we want to try and bring it to the language of our emotions, our feelings. There's mocha and liba, mind and heart. Once depicted like this and once like that, at least. Later on we'll reach the pardes, the orchard. So we are reading for the first time. Try and read as it is and understand as it is. And then maybe a bit pass it on to our emotions. Okay? Okay.
Ten sefirot of reflected light expand from below upward. Ten sefirot of reflected light expand from below upward. 103. We have another course of ten sefirot there. These extend from the sefirah of Malchut from below upward, meaning from the sefirah of Malchut to the sefirah of Keter. In that case, Malchut becomes the origin of the new light, called Ten Sefirot of Or Chozer, reflected light. They are called by that name for they pour and come in an opposite order of degrees. Namely, they do not extend from the Zach, from the pure Kli to the Av Kli, to the coarse Kli, where the last receiver is the most Av. Quite the contrary, it extends from the most Av to the one that is not so Av, not so coarse, until the last receiver is the purest. For that reason, it is considered to be shining from below upward.
Sure. Read again, please.
Ten sefirot of reflected light expand from below upward. 103. We have another course of ten sefirot there. These extend from the sefirah of Malchut from below upward, meaning from Malchut to Keter. In that case, Malchut becomes the origin of the new light, called Ten Sefirot of Or Chozer, reflected light.
We can say something about it, right, Owen? He's not healthy today. Okay. Who is? Benzi, go ahead.
Yesterday I felt in the workshop that this part of Malchut, or the creatures, are actually the origin to everything that happens, and not the force that created us, rather we are the origin of all forces.
Because you open up the higher force, therefore you're the source, you're the reason. But turns out that the reason is the source, the origin. When I open a tap in the wall, then for me, it's the origin. What do I care if there's a factory someplace, or the Sea of Kinneret, or what do you call it? The whole Israeli water system, what do I care? For me, the tap in the wall is the origin. Right or not? Okay, so what's the problem? Who's the creator for me? So, therefore, understand, what does this definition, the creator, mean? We're not talking about his essence. I don't know what that is. I have no connection to that. I am in contact. I can feel. I can imagine. Only where he and I are in contact from my kelim. So I have no other possibility of talking. I have to discover something, someone, I don't know what, that's in touch with me. And beyond that contact, I'm not asking, I have no question, because I have no deficiency for it. What kind of question could there be? So we have to be more realistic and understand where we are. A question about the Creator, it means it's a question about the connection with Him. A question to the Creator, Bore, comes from the word Bore, come and see, meaning I want to discover my form that will show me who He is. You're an educated person. You came to me after the university or in the Weizmann Institute. So I'm asking you, how can you be sure that the way you see me with your eyes is really me, that this is how really my image is? How can you know? Maybe inside you have different, like these and like those kinds of means by which, as a result of which, my image turns into something completely different, opposite. How can you check? Can you do it? You can't. So what are you asking about? So we're always asking on behalf of the vessels, on our behalf. How do we grasp? How do we perceive? Only we're not aware in our existence because our existence is so narrow. It's like Einstein. He extended the boundaries of the Newton physics. All in all, what did he do? He didn't say that it's not correct. He said that on these and those conditions, the Newton mechanics is correct. Under different conditions, meaning that we come closer to the speed of light, it changes. So he simply extended the boundaries. But it seems like it's unclear and the opposite. It's also the same. Do not leave your boundaries. And then our problem in our world is that we're in this small kind of mechanics and when we want to get out of it, we lose ourselves. Okay, in short, we have no problem if we will all the time think about the right perception of reality, that everything is with respect to the attaining person, period.
It says there that Malchut becomes the origin for that new light.
It's the light. It's really light. It's the light of bestowal. According to my bestowal, I can discover His bestowal, the Creator's bestowal. That's it. Everything's in me. What did the Creator do? He broke me, limited, restricted me, did everything, and now gave me the possibility that if I want, I can open myself to Him, and if I don't, then... And how can I do that? And bestow reciprocity.
I'm stuck with that mechanical picture that there is a light that bumps into a mirror or something.
The light that comes to the mirror and collides and comes back. How does the light come to the mirror?
It comes from some source.
What source? Doesn't matter what source. How does it come to the mirror? Okay, direct, indirect, doesn't matter. How does it come? By what force does it come?
I don't understand the question, excuse me.
The light, it comes. How come does it come?
We learned that the light is always there.
No, we're not talking about it. It's present. It's present, but we said that it comes.
So there's a detector, this mirror, which gets the light and pulls the light.
Pulls the light. Okay. Pulls the light, then it becomes a ray. Because otherwise, if it exists, it simply exists someplace. You don't even feel it. But that you... like we say that you put some partition in space, then you discover the light, you pull the light, you want. Why do you want it? It's as if forbidden for you to do it. You can pull the light to the extent to which you have a limitation, and the light will stumble upon that limitation, and you will not allow the host to come in and give you something good and tasty, but you'll resist it. You'll say, I don't want it, and we've decided that that won't be, and I'm pulling it, and I'm allowing you to do this only on condition that I'm showing you that I'm doing this only for you, and as much as I can, I will do it, and all this comes out of love toward you. And the host, he'll tell you what? But I want to give you insult. Why are you taking just 1 gram? What will you tell him?
That this is what I can do.
But why are you? You have to tell him, why did you perform the restriction? Why aren't you receiving?
Because I want to equalize with him.
You want.
Yeah, this is the thing about this shame. It sounds something very egoistic and very powerful.
How do you turn shame into honor? Think. By the Or Chozer, it says. Where does it say that? That by the Or Chozer, the shame turns into honor. There are such words. Okay, let Nessie ask.
How do we say that there is a reflected light, that there is direct light? It has to start with reflected light, because as long as we have no perception...
No, Or Chazal cannot be without Or Yeshua. It has to start with the lower one having a desire for equivalence of form with the light, with the Creator. And then... to the extent to which he considers himself what and how, he opens himself to pulling the light, and then appears the Or Yeshua. You want to say the following. How could it be that appears the Or Yeshua without the Or Chozer, right? According to the extent of the, how do you say? There are many states here. There's the Tzimtzum, there's the Chasadim that fill the desires of the Paltzuf. After the Paltzuf is filled by Chasadim and is ready to work in order to bestow, it's ready to discover these things, starts discovering its abilities, its desires, raises man here. Here it doesn't say anything about it. Without raising a man, could it be that comes a light and reaches the Masach and the Peh of Rosh? No. But all that comes from the man.
So what's the hands behind the fact that we start talking about direct light? There is no matter that can sustain it.
A deficiency rises from Paltzuf to Paltzuf up to Ensof, and from Ensof starts coming the higher light. And when the higher light comes, it comes wrapped in Chasadim. Because the Peltzuf is already under restriction with the intention to bestow in order to bestow, otherwise it wouldn't pull any light.
So I heard the answer now that there is a lack, and so it starts with a lack, with a deficiency, but here it starts with direct light, which is before the lack, before the deficiency.
We're not talking about the deficiencies of the Peltzuf here. You'll not see him explaining here that the Peltzuf raises mud. This comes only later. The 8th, 9th part. Here we're still talking about the actions of the deficiencies from the Peltzufim happened by the light and not by the Peltzuf. That's how it is before the Shvira. I understand that the questions are good questions, correct questions, but still we can't tie these things that everything's done from above without the revelation of the deficiency from below. This is still called the world of Adam Kadmon. There's no lower one yet. Give the mic there quickly.
Perhaps it relates to that question also. How this approach that it's an individual performing a certain action is connected to the force that is revealed between people. What is connection between that to an individual that has such a powerful desire that the light start illuminating, that the desire is in bestowal, and then the light appears? What is the connection between that and the and the force of connection that appears between people?
Okay, you maybe want to ask the following. How does this single action that happens with some peltzuf, with a single peltzuf, has to do with a spiritual action in us, suppose? The peltzuf, it's 10 sefirot, it's at least 10 people. Doesn't matter if it's 10, could be more, could be less, but the term has to be the 10, minyan, connected in one intention, mutually annulled in one intention.
But how does the notion of avut becomes valid inside a reality that is imaginary? How does the avut receive its strength now? Lowers our anxiety if inside is inside of me.
I don't understand. I think you're a bit confused in a few directions. You want to ask how do you connect all of them together, or how do you see that the whole of reality is in you and it awakens only in you?
We're saying that the desire has to be strong in bestowal, and that state is called light. Right? Now, on the other hand, we're saying that the upper force is revealed in the connection between people. How do we connect these two edges? One cancels the other.
We'll keep on going and it'll clear up. The truth is that I don't know how to explain these things simply. There is the particular perception of reality of a person in this world that he sees it on the outside instead of in the inside. Also, he sees the group being on the outside instead of on the inside, and therefore can't depict that he is the Peltzuf in which everyone and the whole of reality exist in. Therefore, he doesn't see that there is only one existing Peltzuf that does everything, and all the Peltzufim, and Ensof Peltzufim, it's all in all. His incorporations and actions and forms and the different inner forms of his that are incorporated and build the form of Adam HaRishon. We're talking only about one Peltzuf, that's all there is. And all the modifications, changes, forms, shapes in him.
I ascribe it to the notion of Ravut because we have to be impressed from the environment.
Darvu is already before the Peltzuf. There is no point in talking about that. If you're not connected in Arvut, you don't even get the reforming light.
That is clear to me. But when we explain the perception of reality, when we study it, the Arvut needs to have this inner force so that we will be able to get a strong impression from the environment to enter a state of Arvut. And that perception of reality, which is within me, psychologically, it prevents me from entering that state of Ravut.
But, Mr., you have to get used to thinking about it more and more. And you're capable even more. But that's how it is. It all comes from scrutinies in the mind and in the heart and thought.
Item 104. All the sefirot of the reflected light that come in, the sefirot of direct light, travel through Malchut. All the sefirot of Or Chozer, reflected light, that come in nine sefirot of direct light, Or Yashar, travel through Malchut. 104. We have explained above about the Hitkalilut, incorporation of the sefirot in the order of the ten sefirot of Or Yashar, direct light. Because there is no absence in spirituality, any ara, any illumination that passes anywhere remains there in completeness, even after it moves to a different location. With regards to the ten sefirot, the Or Yashar, direct light, all the ten sefirot are present in Keter. 9 in Chochmah, 8 in Bina, etc. For that reason, it also appears by the same way in the ten sefirot, the Or Chozer, reflected light. That is because here in the Sefirah of Malchut, it becomes the origin of that reflected light. Thus, it is considered that every Bechina of Or Chozer, reflected light, that reaches its upper sefirot, must travel through Malchut, for the reason that Malchut emanates that light by the power of her Masach, which performs a zivug with the light of Ein Sof that meets that Masach.
Repeat.
Again, 104. All the sefirot of Or Chozer that come in nine sefirot of Or Yashar travel through Malchut. 104. And the matter of the incorporation of the sefirot we have explained above in the order of the ten sefirot of Or Yashar, because there is no absence in spirituality, any illumination that passes anywhere remains there in completeness, even after it moves to a different place. Because of that, the emergent of the ten sefirot of direct light, it is considered that all ten sefirot are in Keter, 9 in Chochmah, 8 in Bina, etc. For that reason, it also appears by the same way in the ten sefirot de Or Chozer, reflected light. That is because here the sefirah of Malchut becomes the origin of that Or Chozer. Thus, it is considered that every bechina of Or Chozer that reaches its upper sefirot must travel through Malchut, for the reason that Malchut emanates that light by the power of her Masach, which performs a zivug with the light of Ein Sof that meets that Masach.
I have just one question here. How does the light cross from Sfira to Sfira?
No.
Come on. Quickly. How does the light cross from sphira to sphira? Through the malchut of that sphira. What does that mean? Add. Glizerin. Don't get up. It's okay. Why get up if you don't know, so everyone will know that you don't know? Yes, Gilad.
The reaction of the creature to everything that is revealed in him is the light that is revealed in him.
Right, but how does the light cross, suppose, from Netzach to Hod?
The light doesn't travel from Netzach to Hod, rather the creature responds in him to what is depicted in him. This is his response to the light that is revealed, and this is how the light travels from Netzach to Hod.
You want
to
add?
Yeah, the same thing. I want to say that I think that the light really doesn't travel from one sefirah to another, rather. Every sefirah has a different relationship with the rest of the sefirot, and then we have this system of relationship.
Maybe we call it kalelut, incorporation. Okay, and each sphira, it has its own 10 particular sphirot with its malchut, with her malchut, and they discover the light only according to the deficiency of that sphira. Suppose in the sphira of Gvura, there's a light that reaches the Gvura, and it becomes what kind of light? Lor of Gvura, okay. How does the Gvura discover the light of Gvura? Because it has 10 Sfirot. Where these 10 Sfirot with their Malchut, they all work on the frequency of Gvura, only with respect to the Gvura. What does it mean, only with respect to the Gvura? I could say, what's the difference between the 10 Sfirot and the Gvura, or the 10 Sfirot with respect to Netzach? That it's the same tool to discover the quality of bestowal, the extent of bestowal, but only in a color, form, shape, like the Gvura. All the 10 sefirot, they're directed on this frequency or that frequency, meaning only in the specific discernment. And so you have 10 sefirot that are aimed at the Gvura, and they work there too. There too you have the desire, and the masach, and the ochozel, and the oryashar, and everything. And there too, particularly speaking, the lights, they pass according to the law we talk about here, from place to place. We don't understand what it means that all the sefirot, they divide up to Ensof. This is an unlimited partition. It's hard for us with the Ensof limitlessness, but we'll make real circles out of ourselves, and then we'll have both the mind and the heart to understand what limitless means, because a circle is limitless. And, yes.
You're looking for how does shame turn into respect, honor?
Right. It's from Ochozer, it says there, I think, please.
So in the introduction to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, item 18, Baal HaSulam writes that the hunger and the appetite, which are the ordinary receptacle vessels, were disqualified from being receptacle vessels because of the shame and the humiliation of receiving a gift from one's friend. And because of the rejection and the refusal, they have received a new form, which is to receive in order to bestow. And by this, the humiliation turned into honor and respect.
You get it? And you were afraid. What? The shame. And so, the more the better. We are moving on to the next part of the lesson.
And let's sing a song together first. Yeah.
שלנו עכשיו הזמן שנחזור